So we're going to be talking about the power of a partner. Everybody say the power, of a partner. We're in our same series because this is a lane that we want everyone to stay in or get back in if perhaps you've gotten out of this lane. So this is a lane you need to stay in. Come on up, Brother Steve. You can bring it up and just set it right over there in the middle somewhere, right kind of out of the way of the screen. So I'm going to begin at 1 John chapter 1. First Epistle John chapter 1, verse 3 through 7, because I want this to be in your heart today and throughout the week and the rest of this month and year as we endeavor to do things for God by His will, purpose, and plan. 1 John 1, verse 3, it says, "That which we have seen and heard and declare we unto you, that you also," everybody say also, "may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And all these things we write to you that your joy may be full." So we've known that we've been emphasizing joy these last several weeks. Things are tied to our joy level that we are discovering and rediscovering in our teaching series. And so that your joy may be what? Full. Everybody said, God wants me, full of joy. See, this is the message which you have heard from Him and declare with you that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. And if we say that we have fellowship with Him, we walk in dark and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Now keep going, guys. Go to verse 8 through 10. "For if we say we do not have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us." Keep going. "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Verse 10, "If we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us." Now, what does this have to do with partnership? Because we started in verse number 3, and verse 3 through 7 is emphasizing, and verse all the way down to the end of the chapter, is emphasizing that we are to stay in fellowship. Everybody say, stay in fellowship.
Stay in fellowship.
Fellowship is the Greek word koinonia. It's first defined as partnership in the Greek. It's first mentioned. This word is just not socializing word. It is a spiritual word that means partnership. The second word that's mentioned in the Strong's Concordance and the Greek rendering there is the word covenant. Everybody say covenant.
Covenant.
So we see the concept of staying in covenant partnership, we see with two dimensions. One, with God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ upward, and then outward with each other. We have fellowship one with another, or we can say partnership one with another. So sometimes people say, well, I'm getting along good with God, but they can't get along good with, they're not getting along good with people. That doesn't work. That those two correlate. Amen. Now, the other aspect I want to bring to your attention is that he talks about these things that he's telling us that our joy may be full. This means that there is a secondary, everybody say secondary.
Secondary.
There's a secondary joy next to the greatest joy in the body, next to being born again and spirit filled, and that is our commitment to each other as members of the body. This commitment is called koinonia, fellowship, partnership, covenant partnership. Amen. It starts with our commitment in the heart, our commitment of our time, a commitment of our talent, a commitment of our finances. And we forfeit our joy and lose our joy when we do three things. If you're taking notes, you can write these down, three things down. We deny the power of sin. Now, there are three categories, as we talked in the past, in this series, about sin. There is sexual sin, there is spiritual sin, but there's also social sin, or we call it the sin in relationships. Now, our relationship with God must stay strong, and because it should be based on covenant. We should not have a casual relationship with God the Father. It should be a covenant part. That's how God deals with us, based on covenant. Amen. He says, I'm committed to you for the rest of your life. He deals with covenant. He's not a kisser and leaver. He doesn't just run out of your life. He said, I will be with you always, even to the ends of the earth. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Amen. That means leaving means presently getting out of your life. Forsaking means turning your heart away. God says, I will never turn my heart away from you. I'm committed from my heart to you. And he says, surely our fellowship is with God the Father and with the Lord Jesus Christ. So how are we getting along with God? If we deny the presence of sin, if there's no tangible, vibrant, active relationship between you and God and you and the Lord Jesus Christ, then there's an issue, an opportunity. Sin just means we've missed the mark. Every step out of love is sin. In other words, if we're not loving God with all of our heart, all of our mind, all of our soul, then we've stepped out of love. Because he's given each and every one of us, as born again, spirit-filled child of God, the capacity to love. Romans 5:5 tells us that the love of God has been shed abroad in our heart. So everybody say, I have. The capacity and the capability to love God. And love Jesus with all my heart, all my mind, all my soul, all my strength. Amen. With everything. Now, when you say, well, I don't know if I feel God. I don't know if I like God anymore. Well, you have issues then. You've short-circuited that capacity, that capability he put in each and every one of us. That extends in our relationship with each other. If there's a short circuit in your capacity and capability and your outworking compassion toward one another, then there's usually a step out of love. And we said every step out of love is sin. You got to get back to God. How? In a hurry. Praise God. So the joy can be forfeited, or we can lose it because we deny the power of sin. Or secondly, we can deny the presence of sin. Now remember, this whole environment, this whole arena in which we live is congested with hostile forces. The devil's always trying to get you to drink haterade. Amen. The Bible even says further in this epistle, in this wonderful epistle, John, 1 John, that said, if you see your brother has need and you shut up your bowels of compassion, you can do that. He said, how dwells the love of God in you? And if you have no love, you have no joy. Because those are the byproducts of a healthy relationship with God, a healthy relationship with Jesus Christ, a healthy relationship with your brothers and sisters in the body of Christ. Amen. So you have a choice, because this love is based on a choice. It's not a feeling. Love is a choice. That means we choose to love God. We choose to serve God. We choose to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. We choose to serve each other. And then number three, we can deny the practice of sin. The practice of sin is the sin of omission, meaning we neglect, we refuse to love, we refuse to be in fellowship, because this word by the Holy Spirit, he's saying it several times, don't break fellowship. And what breaks fellowship? Sin breaks fellowship. Fellowship, not relationship, but fellowship. And when we say you break fellowship with God, then you don't have his presence. You don't have his power. You can't access his peace. You can't access his protection. You can't access his provision.
Amen.
Because you break fellowship. Sin breaks fellowship. Isaiah 59 tells us that his arm, God's arm, is not short, that it can't say it's not shortened, that he can't deliver you. But he said your sins have separated. Sin separates fellowship So we have to be aware that the presence of sin is there. The power of sin is there for our choosing or refusing. Amen. And the practice of sin has to be unlearned, has to be avoided, has to be opted out on. I'm opting out of practicing sin. And remember we said, all sin is fear-based or fear-dependent, or in other words, it takes faith to love this way, because you're not always going to feel like it. You're not always going to feel like coming to church, especially on Wednesday night. You're not always going to feel like reading your Bible. You're not always going to feel like praying to God, your partner, your senior partner, praying to Jesus, the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And when you want to watch your favorite TV show, or when you want to take a nap, when you want to go to bed, or when you want to sleep in a little bit longer.
Amen.
Everybody say, don't break fellowship.
Don't break fellowship.
See, the Apostle John in this epistle is by impartation of the Holy Spirit, is telling us, is communicating to us loud and clear the importance of remaining in fellowship. Don't break fellowship with the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, and fellow Christian believers. See, when we're born again by the blood of Jesus Christ, we enter into fellowship with God the Father, the Lord Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. We are one spirit with the Lord. In other words, 1 Corinthians 6:17 says, but he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit. Everybody say one spirit.
One spirit.
With him. You become in union with Christ, in union with the Father, in union with the Holy Spirit. The real you is your spirit. See, our fellowship with one another takes place as well. God the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, did not save us and redeem us to live a life independent and isolated lives. The new birth in Christ brings the experience of being baptized into the body of Christ. You become a member of the body. Now look at my hand. My hand will illustrate to you, if I cut my hand off, it's what's going to happen to my hand. Oh, first, it makes my body dysfunctional, but that hand is going to wither and die, right? It's going to rotten. It's going to decay. Medically speaking, it's going to atrophy. It's going to ruin, rotten, worsen. And then death is, and rigor mortis will set in. Is that a good illustration? So you've been connected to the body of Christ. Everybody say, I am.
One spirit.
With the Lord.
With the Lord.
So you can't be a free spirit, an independent spirit, an isolated spirit.
Amen.
1 Corinthians 12:13 says, for by one spirit we all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slave or free, we have all been made to drink into one spirit. Everybody say one spirit.
One
so you can't call my body Ed and you call my head Oliver Sacquot. You and the Lord are one.
Amen.
When you say you're a Christian, you're saying I belong to Christ. You and Christ are what?
One.
You're not independent of the body. You're part of the body. If you're not, like we said, you atrophy, you decay, you rotten, you ruin, you worsen, you die. That's why we reach the lost, those that are out of fellowship with God. They're not saved. We reach the lonely, those who don't have a body that they belong to. Every sheep needs a shepherd, and every Christian needs a church family. A Christian without a family is an orphan, and that's not good at all, and that's not God's best for us.
Amen.
He told us not to forsake the what? The assembling of ourselves together. In other words, we have to get assembled. Get connected to your other body parts. Independence and isolation is a celebration of selflessness. It breeds relational irreverence and irresponsibility. It takes God and others out of the equation of your life, which is not good at all. In other words, you think in a silo. You think, I got to survive this on my own. Nobody's there for me. Mm-hmm. And that's not a good thing. Everybody say, I belong to God.
And I belong to the body of Christ.
You belong to the body of Christ. And so that gets us out of this tunnel vision, because you're a partner. Amen. You and I were created and wired for we-ness, not meanness.
Amen.
You and I are designed to be a strong team player, not just an individual star. Teams win. Teamwork makes the dream work. We're created to have and maintain fellowship with God the Father, fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and fellowship with others in the body of Christ. So we can look at these sides to our partnership as three sides. So if we were to draw a triangle, I'm not going to do it right now for the time, but at the tip of the triangle, on one side of the triangle is personal side. Everybody say personal. So if you draw a triangle and just put partnership in the middle, it's three sides to it. That means personally you need to have a good relationship with God. You need to be getting along with God in your closet, in your bedroom, in your bathroom, in your kitchen, in your life experience. God should not be a stranger or long distance. You should be able to hear from God just like I do or anybody else in the body of Christ does, because you belong to him. You're his child. Isn't that right? Jesus Christ, your Lord. You should be able to receive his lordship in and over your life every single day. That means you refer to Jesus. You defer to him, his authority, his last call in your life. He makes the last decision in your life. He gets to tell you what to do.
Amen.
He is Lord.
Amen.
You have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And then, of course, there's a public side. Everybody say public side.
Public side.
In the private side, you pray for people in the body of Christ.
Amen.
You're a partner. If that thumb is getting bad, you're praying for that thumb.
Amen.
That pinky finger is getting bad or hurt, been injured, you're praying for that pinky finger. If that knee joint is out of joint and socket and in pain, you're praying for that knee. You're bringing help and healing and some sort of medical help to that knee.
Amen.
You do that personally. Publicly, you show your partnership. Amen.
Amen.
Getting along with God in private means that you're going to be displaying the joy of God in public. Getting along with Jesus in private means that you're going to be showing the joy of Jesus and the love of Jesus in public.
Amen.
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 It's going to be coming out of your heart. It's going to be thoughts in your head. It's going to be expressions through your hands. And it's going to be displayed through your habits because you are a partner.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And then there's the process of partnership. That means we learn what it means to live in covenant.
Yes.
Not contract relationships, but covenant relationships.
Amen.
That means blood was shed here. It was Jesus's blood. And we don't take it lightly. We don't esteem it lowly. We esteem this covenant that we're in with the God of the universe. And we get to call him Abba Father. With the Lord Jesus Christ, and we get to call him my Lord and my Savior. Come on now. Hallelujah. And then with the people in the body of Christ, we get to call them my brothers and my sisters. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Everybody say partnership.
Partnership.
So how's your fellowship? How are you in good fellowship, in good partnership? Remember, we shared on Wednesday night that this is a powerful spiritual word, not merely a socializing word. And it's described as covenant. Now, there's a difference between fellowship and relationship. Fellowship is the sharing of heart. Everybody say, I am a spirit.
I am a spirit.
I possess a soul.
I possess a soul.
And I live in a body.
In a
the
body.
Real you is your spirit. So he said, you and the Lord are one spirit if you belong to Jesus. That means you're, listen to this phrase, spirit to spirit firm. The real you is connected firmly with Jesus, with the Lord. Does that make sense? But when you fellowship with others, that means your spirit is in communion and union with theirs. Your spirit is there formed with people. That's why when you have spiritual sins or things that go on in your heart, you can transfer those things.
Amen.
Because you're in partnership. That's why the Bible can even say in 1 Corinthians 12, when one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. You hurt, we gonna hurt. If the pastor's gonna struggle, everybody's gonna struggle. If you struggle, we're gonna struggle. We're partners. I want you to get the concept of this today. Somebody say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. That means partnership, covenant, spiritual communion, and connection. That's fellowship. Everybody say fellowship.
Fellowship.
So Jesus told us, the Lord told us in 1 Corinthians through Paul, in 1 Corinthians 6:17, look at this. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? Certainly not. Do you know that he who is joined to the Lord is one body with her, joined to a harlot, is one body with her? For two, he said, shall become one flesh. But he who is joined to the Lord is what? One spirit with him. 1 Corinthians 6:14-16. Do not be unequally yoked together with what? Unbelievers. 2 Corinthians, I gotta get the wrong scripture. 2 Corinthians 6:14-16. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. In other words, don't hook up with people, don't enter into partnership with people who aren't Christians. That could be in a dating situation, that could be job situation, business situation scenario. Come on now. That could be people you hang around, you don't open and share your heart with them because you're putting your spirit, co-mingling your spirit with their spirit. He said, don't be yoked to unbelievers. And he said, what fellowship, what partnership, had the same word, koinonia, has righteousness with lawlessness? What communion has light with darkness? What accord has Christ with Belial? That means you can't mix good and bad, good and evil. On what part has a believer with an unbeliever? None. The answer to the question is nothing. No, none. And what agreement has a temple of God with us? For we are the temple of the living God. See, the Bible teaches separation, not segregation. In other words, we're in the world, but we're not of the world. You're not supposed to be hooked up, tied up, tangled up with an unbeliever. Partnership means your best friends should be your faith friends, people in the body of Christ. I didn't get too many amens there. Because some people call people as their friend, the Ace Bukum, their Pizzos, their BFF. Come on, and they are a child of the devil. If they're not a child of God, you shouldn't be their BFF.
Amen.
Well, that's what the Bible teaches.
That's good.
All right, y'all got quiet on me. All right. Relationship is to relate to or to be related to. So the relationship to relate in the context of the sphere of influence in the world around you, you relate to people based on commonalities and relatable areas, such as vocation. You relate to people on your job. You don't be a stick in the mud and a stuck-up Christian. We're in the same office. I'm here to serve you. I'm here to be a witness to you. I'm here to show Christ to you. I'm not to treat you like you got the bubonic plague. Are you listening to me? Your career or profession or employer, your business, your industry, you might go to the same school. You might go to the same college or university. You might have the same hobbies or community or be in the same subdivision or township or district. You might have the same sports team. You might be playing intramural or non-professional sports or something like that. You might be in music, band, gym, YMCA, local civic activities. Or in the natural sense, you relate to your relatives, but not all your relatives are born again, believers. So you relate to them, but you don't have to fellowship with them.
Amen.
Your relationship to them is to influence them to come to Jesus. Influence them to become a believer and Christ follower. Are you listening to me?
Yes.
Amen?
Amen?
Now there's five areas of partnership. Y'all getting some out of this?
Yes.
Five areas of partnership, so let's look at them. First Philippians chapter 1, verse 3-7. I thank my God on every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you all with what? Joy. For the fellowship, everybody say fellowship. So the fellowship there, the same word, koinonia, partnership, covenant partnership in the what? Gospel until the first day, until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Just as it is right for me to think of these you all, because I have you in my heart, and so but in my, both my change and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you are all partakers of me with grace. So the first area of partnership, if you can see this chart over here, is partnership in the gospel. Everybody say partnership in the gospel.
Partnership in the gospel.
See, the book of Philippians essentially is a book that, sorry guys, this is a book that gives us the concept and spiritual truth about partnership. The book of Philippians is really a partner letter to one of his favorite partners, churches, Philippians Church. Amen, because God called Paul and his ministry team to Philippians Church. They went to Philippi first, the region of Macedonia, Asia, and of course it's called Asia Minor now, but back then Asia. So they went there, and because at the direction of the Lord through the Macedonian call, and then Paul loved this church because they partnered with him. And so in the context of the local church, we partner with the pastors. And the book of Philippians gives us five areas of partnership. The first one is the gospel. Everybody say gospel. So the gospel, we know in Mark chapter, let's go there. Let's turn there and look at this for a minute. Mark chapter 16. Mark 16. Everybody say, I'm a partner. You're supposed to be a partner. I want you to stir you up about your partnership. Mark 16, 15, he said, go ye. Everybody say, go ye.
Go ye.
Go ye into all. Now, some people translate this as go you. That means they kind of warp out. I don't have time to go. Oh, I can skip going. But this go ye in the King James, as I'm reading here, the go ye is a group commission. It's not an individual commission. It's because some people think, go, Pastor, go. I'm stirring you up about reaching the community, reaching the city, reaching the country. Amen. And so go ye, you is a part of ye. Everybody say, I'm a part of ye. You is a part of ye. So when he says go you or go ye, that means that includes me. Everybody say, that's me. That means you go.
Amen.
I go. I need to be going. Doing what? To preach the gospel into all the world, ethnos. That means the social order of your life and your sphere of influence. Go to that soul and penetrate it with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, there's two interesting dynamics to one of the miracles of Jesus in the book of, in the Gospels. One is the feeding of the 5,000. It was fish and five loaves. And one commentary brought this out. And then there was right next to it, right after that, there was the feeding of the 4,000. Now, what was different about the 5,000 was the 5,000, they got fish and loaves. And these were uncooked fish. In the Greek, the deeper meaning root of the Greek was that these fish were raw. And so this could be context you get raw meat here. You get meat, and then what you do is you process it as a partner and say, Lord, what is my part? Now, the fish with the 4,000, feeding the 4,000, that was actually cooked fish. So when Jesus took that boy's lunch, it was already cooked fish. So what did he multiply? Cooked fish. What do you multiply when you get home and you process the word that the Spirit is saying to your heart and saying to your life at church? You process it, you cook it up in the womb of your spirit, and then you serve the people around you, cook fish. You said, this is a digestible portion. This is my part of what the Holy Spirit has told me to do with the message of the gospel I receive at church. Somebody say, glory to God. So we might throw out chunks of meat out here, raw fish. But you cook it up and you say, Lord, what's my part? I heard the word. I heard the Spirit talking to my heart, tapping on my spirit. I heard the word of God be revealed to my spirit. What's my part to play? Amen? Because you got to go. You got to be a partner in the gospel. Because remember, when you break partnership, you break fellowship. And what did he say in verse 7 of 1 John 1:7? He said, walk in the light as what? He is in the light, and we have fellowship one with another. That's why people get struggle when they come to church. Because they're not walking in the light.
Amen.
Sin is a violation of light. That means I hear what I'm supposed to do in church, but I choose when I get out of church not to do what I'm supposed to do. I hear the direction of God in my spirit through the word of God, instruction, correction, direction come to me clearly and concisely. But then I walk out and I say, I'm not doing it. Then the light goes off. He said, if you abide in darkness, you break fellowship. Darkness comes by two means. One mean is ignorance. That means I don't know. You don't know what you don't know. But the other one is willful disobedience. When I choose not to walk in the light of what God gives me, then the light goes off. I cut the light off, just like this sister. If she would cut the light off back there, it would get darker in this room. It would get darker in your life experience when you cut the light off. There are things that God has told everyone in this room to do about your partnership with this church in the gospel. Now you can choose or you can refuse. I mean, we walked around the neighborhood yesterday, and there's houses and people hungry, and they need Jesus.
Amen.
But we can refuse and say, I'm going to deny the need. I'm going to deny the Savior. He said, if you be ashamed of me before this wicked and adulterous generation, I'll be ashamed of you. You're not to be ashamed. Shame is fear-based, fear-dependent. Some people want to live as a cloak and dagger Christian. That means nobody knows you're a Christian unless they really shake you, interrogate you for 30 minutes. Oh, yeah, I'm a Christian. Everybody say, I'm a partner in the gospel. Hallelujah. So we band together to preach the gospel, to proclaim and proliferate and progress and provide for the gospel. This is the first of our covenant partnership commands. The Lord is about winning souls and restoring sinners and backsliders back into fellowship with him. Our partnership in the gospel enlarges and expands the kingdom's our kingdom priority perspective. We grow a kingdom first mentality. When we break fellowship, we think about me first instead of we first. Partnership in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ help us keeps the main thing the main thing. We partner in the gospel to be an effective witness. You don't get filled with the Spirit so you can just have goosebumps and feel good every once in a while. He said, you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses of me. Both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and othermost parts. Partnership is the main reason why we come to church. It's like family dinner. The dinner bell's ringing every Sunday morning and Wednesday night, and you got to come and eat at the table where you are a partner and do your part.
Amen.
Partnership with the pastor and with each other in the gospel causes us to be together times 10. We are so much better together than separate. See, the world can only do 1 + 1 = 2. In the kingdom, we do 1 + 1 = 1,000, because the Bible says 1 can put 1,000 to flight, 2 can put 10,000 to flight. We're 10 times better together than we are separate. In other words, Ecclesiastes says two are better than one because they get more for their labor. And he said a threefold cord is not easily broken. That means when two believers come together, that third cord comes in. The Holy Spirit shows up. Jesus said, where there are two or three gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. He comes down and he comes to church with us.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Somebody said, glory to God.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah. Second is partnership in the grace of God. Well, let me say this one thing first. Together we can penetrate our culture and community in with light, life, and the love of Christ. Do you believe that?
Yes.
So you is a part of ye. When he says go ye, that's you. Not just a few people. Are you going? Now there's a great story that Joyce Meyer tells about her partners. She said one of the ladies, the partner, and she had been just a participator and a spectator. She was not a partner. Now, the Lord told her 3.5 years before to be a partner with Joyce Meyer Ministries. And she said at first, Joyce was speaking to her heart. Every time she spoke, it reverberated. It grabbed her. She said, Joyce Myers grabbed me. And then she said, after a while, though, Joyce didn't grab her anymore. And she said, Joyce has lost the anointing. She doesn't grab me anymore. And the Holy Spirit spoke right up to her and said, well, you were supposed to be a partner 3.5 years ago. It's not that Joyce has lost her anointing. You've lost your anointing. You've lost your anointing to hear. You lost your anointing to receive anymore. You don't get any more answers anymore because it's gotten dark. It's gotten dull. It's gotten distant in your life where you can't hear the word. That means people can come to church incessantly, but if they don't choose to become a partner, that their voice even of the Lord through their pastor becomes, pastor doesn't get me anymore. There's no more anointing on the pastor. I would submit to you, there may be not no more anointing on your ears because you got to become a partner. You got to become not just a player, not just a spectator, not just a every once in a while participant. You got to become a covenant partner.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Because some people can come in brand new and say, man, that message was so awesome. And somebody over there asleep. Why? Because they've gotten dull. They've gotten dark, they've gotten dense and dim, and they can't hear God because their heart is not committed to be a partner. Somebody say, glory to God.
Glory to God.
And so we partner in the grace of God. In other words, there's no higher grace and no higher anointing than the corporate anointing. When you partner with the pastors, when you partner with the ministry, you get in a corporate environment. Your individual anointing is only so much, but when you get that corporate anointing, we can share in the grace of God on a corporate level. We can get things done more expeditiously and more excellently.
Amen.
On a corporate level. We can just give you testimony after testimony. When we pray with people, when we agree with people, things get done. I have never seen things not get done in less than a week. This is 2018, and we've been around for a decade. I've seen prayers get answered just like that, 72 hours, 48 hours, 1 week. Why? Because when you pray with partners, things get done. There's a commitment of the heart. There's a commitment of our focus and our head and our hands and our habits. And we're saying we're all in this together.
Amen.
Are you listening to me?
Hallelujah.
So he said, you are partakers of my grace. When I'm in chains, when I'm in defense of the gospel, when I'm in confirmation of the gospel, you all partakers of my grace. And then we see, look at chapter 2, verse 1. We're almost done. Y'all getting something out of this?
Amen.
Look at chapter 2, verse 1, Philippians. Therefore, if any be any consolation in Christ, any comfort of love, any fellowship of the Spirit, then partnership with the Holy Spirit. If there are infections of mercy. See, this partnership is to stay united in spirit, to stay single-minded and selfless in our service for Christ and others in the body of Christ. Our partnership in the Holy Spirit enables, equips, and empowers us to operate as one, to flow and function on one, in one accord, and in unity, and in community with one another. We hear what the Spirit is saying to the church, His purposes, His plans, His will, His priorities. Verse 5 of chapter 2 encourages us and instructs us to let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. In other words, we have the same mindset, the same mentality, and the same attitude that Jesus has. And that makes us great partners together in the work because we think the same. We have the same kingdom perspective. You can't get that by academia or going to school. You can't get that by doing independent and isolated projects. You get that by being partners. You get the heartbeat of God for TWCC by being a partner.
Amen.
Hallelujah. This is Partnership Sunday. We're calling for partners. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The fourth thing we see partnership in the power of God. Chapter 3, verse 10, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death. We often teach and said, no suffering, no glory. What came after the cross? The resurrection. No cross, no crown. Suffering is part of the process. Paul had the right attitude towards trouble when he wrote it by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He said, therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecution, and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I'm weak, then am I strong. In other words, when Paul says, I take pleasure in, it means I think well of these things. I have the right attitude about these things. I don't have problems with my body or my finances or my family or whatever, and I run and hide in a cave and think I'm going to survive on my own. No, you're part of the body. We rejoice together.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Sufferings and peril and problems don't work together for our evil. That's the devil's intention. But Jesus, God said, all things work together for what? Our good, for them that love God and those that are called according to his purpose. Romans 8:28. Amplified says the fifth area is partnership in finances. Philippians 4:15. Now you Philippians also know that in the beginning of the gospel that I departed in Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. And Amplified says, and you Philippians know that very well in the early days of the gospel ministry, when I left Macedonia, no church, no assembly entered into a partnership with me. It is the heart, the prayer, and finances that strengthen and maintain solid partnership between the pastor, the people, and the local church. Somebody say, glory to God.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah. So the pastor's part is to pray and minister the word. You get spiritual things, your responsibility, financial, material things. But you also pray. Amen. Some people think they can just give money and they get rid of the guilt or the responsibility of partnership. You can't pay God off and say, I'm going to give you enough money and so you don't have to be bothered with me. I'll just pay my way through. No, you can't pay your way through. You got to partner your way through.
Amen.
Somebody say, glory to God.
Glory to God.
And see, I pray for you all the time. I'm minister the word to you all the time. Pastor Cynthia and I. And that's motivated out of the heart of love. And a good partner is a loving partner. Amen.
Amen.
A pastor without a love is a butcher. I don't see anybody bleeding today. I might have stepped on your toes a little bit, but you're not bleeding. So the people of God and the local church have the part. That's to pray for the pastors. You know, some people talk about people and talk about the president and talk about, let's just talk about real about it, just a second, talk about leadership. But you always have to ask, how often do you pray for your leadership?
That's good.
Your boss may be a mean old ogre, but do you pray for your boss?
Amen.
You might have rough business clients or rough business deals go down this week, but do you pray for them? Amen.
Amen.
Oftentimes, people don't pray, and they come to church, and they say, well, I can't get anything. Well, you hadn't prayed for anything, because when you ask, you receive. When you seek, you find. When you knock, the door will be open to you. Somebody say glory to God. And then you provide material and finances. This is an illustrated chart. I'm not going to go through that because it would take a lot of time. But all those scriptures are good. You can take a picture if you want. But see, people without love, just like a pastor motivated without love, are moved by selfish ambition, self-centeredness, and stinginess. In other words, it becomes all about me, myself, I, what I'm going through, what I need, what I want, what I got going on. Amen.
Amen.
How many of you know the pastor needs prayer? Pastors need prayer.
Amen.
I know you want prayer from the pastor, and we pray for you regularly, but we need prayer.
Amen.
Paul said in several scriptures, pray for me.
Amen.
Amen. A good partner is a prayer partner. See, these are our parts to enable the team to win. Like a bridge, these pillars support the bridge and the partnership and roles and responsibilities we should take. Now, I'm going to close with this point. 2 Corinthians 8:16 through 23. But he says, thanks be to God who puts the same earnest care for you in the heart of Titus. This is the power of a partner. Paul was talking about Titus, one of his ministry team members. And he not only had accepted the exhortation, but be more diligent. Everybody say he was more diligent.
More diligent.
Now, I'm going to skip down to verse 22 because of time. And he sent to them our brother who often proved diligent in many things, but now more diligent, he has great confidence that he will have in you. If anyone inquires about Titus, if you ask about Titus, Paul said the first thing, verse 23, 2 Corinthians 8:23, he is my partner. We want to be able to say that about everybody. That's my partner. And my fellow worker concerning you. Now, Titus, great example of the power of a partner. Titus was a partner who was devoted. He was to God and Paul, his pastor and his leader, spiritual leader. He was diligent. Diligent, the Bible says, in many things. Number three, he was dedicated to his important role and responsibility and assignments, so much so he was praised for his work and his partnership in the gospel throughout all the churches. I mean, that guy had a good reputation throughout all the churches that he partnered with Paul in. And then fourthly, he was dependable. Everybody say devoted.
Devoted.
Diligent.
Diligent.
Dedicated.
Dedicated.
Dependable.
Dependable.
That's the call of a partner. That's the power of the partner. Stand to your feet if you would, please. Thank you, Father God, for the privilege and the